Who was the first prophet mentioned in the Bible? You might be surprised when you learn the answer. Stay tuned as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses God's first prophet today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is talking about God's first prophet. What makes this such an interesting study is that this man is mentioned in the Old Testament, but we wouldn't have known he was a prophet if it wasn't for the New Testament. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now, with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
Thank you. It's good to have you with us as we continue our series of studies dealing with the life and ministry of God's first prophet. By the way, if you weren't with us last time, do you know who God's first prophet was? Was it Moses? Was it Abraham? Somebody told me yesterday they thought it was Noah, and that's not a bad guess because Noah was a preacher of righteousness and a prophet of sorts. But actually, the first prophet mentioned in the Bible goes back even before Noah's time, because the first prophet in the Bible was Enoch. And you know, I've never been able to figure out why no one ever seems to talk about Enoch, because I think he's one of the most fascinating characters in the entire Bible. And if we want to understand biblical prophecy and the prophetic office and God's prophetic plan, it behooves us to know something about God's first prophet, Enoch. Now, let's get started today by turning back to Genesis chapter 5, and we've been looking at this passage beginning in verse 18, where it says, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters," verse 20, "and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." What a remarkable statement. He was not, for God took him. God removed Enoch and took him directly to heaven. And I'll have more to say about that later in this study. But we saw on the last program that Enoch is a prophet for our generation, as well as for his own, because the age in which he prophesied was very much like the one in which you and I live. In fact, there are many interesting parallels between the antediluvian world and the world in our day, in this closing decade of the 20th century. And we're not going to have time to get into that today, so if you weren't with us for that discussion on the last program, let me encourage you to write for the cassette. Now, Enoch is listed here with the descendants of Seth in chapter 5 of Genesis. Seth, of course, as you will recall, was the son that was born to Adam and Eve after the death of their son Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain. And let me see if I can show you what's happening here so you can get the big picture. Remember on the last program we saw that Genesis chapter 4 outlines the genealogy of Cain, and we saw that Cain's descendants were pagans, basically. They were not worshipers of Jehovah, because they were cast in the mold of Cain himself. Just look at his life. Cain was the one who brought his own sacrifice back in Genesis chapter 4, rather than bringing the blood sacrifice God had prescribed. Cain was a self-willed, rebellious man. You see, he was the kind of guy who cared nothing about God or spiritual things, and that's exactly how his own children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren turned out. And isn't it true, my friend, that our children and grandchildren tend to emulate our lives? And when they get to be 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old, it's almost like when you look at them, you're looking in the mirror. Well, that's what happened here. And that genealogy of Cain in Genesis chapter 4 is the beginning of an entire pagan, godless civilization. That's chapter 4. Then when you turn over to chapter 5, you've got the genealogy of Seth. Seth was the son of Adam and Eve, who was to be the progenitor of the godly line, the line of the Messiah. These people in the line of Seth were worshipers of Yahweh, the one true God. So look at what you've got here. In chapter 4, there's the ungodly line. In chapter 5, the godly line. And when you get to chapter 6, you've got the intermarriage of the godly with the ungodly. And apparently the ungodly line was beginning to corrupt and dominate the entire civilization to the point where, when you come to chapter 6, which is the story of Noah, there are only 8 people left who are faithful to the Lord. And you see, the danger was that the messianic line might become corrupted or maybe disappear altogether. And that's when God made the determination to bring on the great flood and start all over again with Noah's family of 8 people. So that sort of gives you the big picture of how Enoch fits in here, because he lived before the flood and was in the godly line of Seth. In fact, Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. Now, let's see what we can learn from these verses about Enoch. In verse 21, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." Verse 22, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Now, notice it says, he walked with God. He communed with God. He fellowshipped with God. You see, God had found a man who knew why he was created. Because that's why God made us, my friend. He made us to have fellowship with him. In fact, when you turn back here a few pages to Genesis chapter 1, it says in verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." And notice it says, "our image." That's the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And each of the persons of the Godhead are involved in the process of creation. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You see, there were 3 things involved here. First, God made us in his likeness. That is, we are triune creatures, body, soul, and spirit, just as God himself is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then, secondly, God made us to have dominion over the creation. And thirdly, God made us to have fellowship with him. So the 3 key things here are likeness, dominion, and fellowship. The Bible says that God used to come to Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening and fellowship with them. So God wanted us to have his likeness, dominion, and fellowship. But when Adam and Eve sinned and the human race fell under the curse of sin, we lost those 3 things. There was no more likeness, no more dominion, no more fellowship. We were no longer in his likeness because we became spiritually dead. There was no more dominion because the Adamic covenant placed us at odds with the creation. And there was no more fellowship because man was now a sinner. But the good news is that God's goal and purpose is to restore us to his likeness and to our dominion and to fellowship with him. And it all happens through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense," that is by Adam's offense, "death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Do you know what that means, my friend? It means that everything that was lost in Adam is being restored through Christ. We are restored to the image of God when we receive Christ as Savior and we're made spiritually alive. We are restored to fellowship with God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5:1 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even our dominion over the creation will be restored during the millennium. But you see, this is all New Testament truth. And what's so remarkable about this man, Enoch, is the fact that, I mean, here's a man from the Old Testament dispensation who understood enough about God and about the atonement and about God's plan so that he was able to experience fellowship and communion with God in a way that is absolutely unprecedented in the history of the world. It says he walked with God. Just like Adam and Eve walked with the Lord and talked with the Lord and fellowshipped with the Lord there in the Garden of Eden, Enoch had recovered the fellowship that Adam had lost. And let me tell you something, my friend. God wants to have fellowship with you, too. If you're not a Christian, or if you're Jewish and you're not a believer in Yeshua, God has made you in such a way that nothing can ever fill that void in the center of your being except God Himself. Pascal, the French physicist, said that there's a vacuum in the heart of every man that only Jesus Christ can fill. And it's true. You can try to fill that vacuum with material things. You can try to fill it with sex or drugs or prestige or fame or money or any one of 10,000 other things. But listen, only Jesus can satisfy the deepest needs and longings of your heart. So the first thing we learn about this man Enoch is that he walked with God. And I have a couple of other things to say about that, but it'll have to wait until next time because we're out of time for today. So be sure to join us again next time, won't you? Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. We've been listening to our Bible teacher, Dr. Gary Hedrick, talking about God's first prophet. You'll be glad to know we've placed the entire series on one convenient CD. It's available for a gift of just $6 or more to the Ministry of Messianic Perspectives. The title is God's First Prophet. Or just ask for program number GT6. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on God's First Prophet, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.